Thank you very much for a very nice introduction. And also, I have the great gratitude, first of all, to Professor Klaus von Klitzing for excellent introduction to the area of the heterostructures, and to Professor Herbert Kremer, who described sufficient big part of my lecture also. So in this case, maybe, so you listening the title of my lecture, it also can be called as recent research on heterostructures at the Yoffe Institute, which is the main building of our institute. And recent research for the old people like me, it means approximately last 40 years. Because Professor von Klitzing, Professor Kremer saved me some part of the time for my lecture, I will be speak a little bit about Yoffe Institute, where I am working near to 50 years right now. This institute was created by the famous Russian physicist academician Yoffe, and started from the seminar on new physics at the Polytechnical Institute in 1960s. His pupil were future Nobel Prize winner, academician Semyonov, academician Kapitsa, and from this seminar started our institute, and later from our institute it appeared four Nobel Prize winners, Kapitsa, Semyonov, Landau, and also Igor Tam, who worked during the war in our institute. So I am fifth Nobel Prize winner from the Yoffe Institute, and I am also the fifth director of the institute. During more than 80 years, we have had only five directors. I think it's a good sign for research institute. And also, I should like just to show one transparency more about the institute. We just show to you in the first 10 years of the institute. Just look. It was a sufficiently small institute. There were approximately 150 people. And what was the achievement? The first electronic musical instrument invented by Terman. Discovery of the Yoffe effect, which played a very important role because it has been shown the mechanical properties, stress near to theoretical value. Max Born's theory of crystals were founded later on these experiments. Prediction of paramagnetic and ferromagnetic resonance. Creation of kinetic theory of liquids. First studies of the interaction of particles with matter in a Wilson chamber, theory of wrinkle effects, discovery of chain chemical reaction, later Nobel Prize, creation of quantum theory of ferromagnetism, creation of quantum theory of electronic diamagnetism, fundamental results in ferroelectricity, the first laboratory cyclotron in Europe, prediction and theory of exciton in crystals, creation of proton-neutron model of the atomic nucleus. So you see, sometimes even small number of the people can do a lot in the science. In general, of course, it was special time of the development of physics. Later, I asked old friend of mine, he died recently, British professor Rudolf Peierls, how you can do so much in 20s and beginning of 30s when the basic of quantum physics were created, and Rudolf Peierls answered to me, I never forget it. He said, you know, Jarez, that time, golden age of the physics, first class of the people can publish genius paper, and second class of the people can publish first class of the paper. But really, really, it was the group of the genes, and they really, first class of the paper were published by the first class of the people. Right now, of course, we have at the Yoffe Institute sufficiently hard time, but at least we created recently what I called Scientific Educational Center of the Yoffe Institute and have constructed new building with good auditoriums, swimming pools and other, where I hope just study, learning and exercise together school students, students of our faculty and our scientists. Maybe this way is good way to grow up again first class of scientists. And now let me go to the main subject of my lecture. I should like, first of all, because I think I did the introduction, I should like to first of all to say a few words about God-made and man-made crystals. Professor Leo Isaki, who would be delivering the lecture just after me, introduced this determination. He introduced this determination when he published the first important work about the heterostructure superlattice, that it's man-made crystals. In general, you can consider the heterostructures in general as a man-made crystals because we just using God-made crystals, HOMA junctions, silicon, germanium, different kind of semiconductor materials, but introduction of the changing of the chemical composition, introduction of the superlattice, which creates the new bands and new band structure of the semiconductor materials, really give to you some kind of man-made crystal. Maybe I will speak a little bit later about that. The most strong approach to that is the technology of quantum dots heterostructure, which developed last couple decades. And then I will be just tell you about the main step, bulk, classical, quantum well, and quantum wire and quantum dots heterostructure, and a little bit about future trends in this area. Professor Kremer just told about this fundamental physical phenomena which happened in classical, in bulk heterostructures, and which is the most important one is special injection properties. The first wide gap emitter transistor and wide gap emitter in general were described by William Shockley in his first transistor patent in 1948. Then we consider the possibility to have injection properties, what we call super injection effect, when the concentration of the non-equilibrium carriers, electrons in narrow band material can exceed the equilibrium concentration of the electrons in wide gap materials by orders of magnitude, which has became very important for construction of different kind of semiconductor devices. Then, of course, it was very important what Professor Kremer said about quasi-electric field and new forces which determine the movement of the electrons in these semiconductor crystals. And then, of course, it was very important the proposal of the double heterostructure where you have electron confinement, optical confinement, because the narrow band material working as very good waveguide for the light, and also you use for achievement of laser action the super injection effect and do not need degeneration junction. So these three main physical properties of the heterostructure, just bulk classical heterostructures, give to you the new tools for control of electron and light fluxes inside of the crystals. It's one of the reasons why we start to call it man-made crystals, and then it became plenty of new possibilities appear when superlattice were proposed and developed, when quantum wires, quantum dots, and so on. But first of all, it was very important just to make, okay, the proposal have been done in the beginning of, in middle of 50s by Herb Kremer, for transistors in the beginning of 60s, for lasers, for photocells and others, but it was necessary to find out the material where these properties would be work. And there is just world map at the beginning of the heterostructure time, and we spent sufficiently long time because we started our heterostructure research in order to make lasers immediately after we proposed that, in beginning of 1963. But we spent first 3 or 4 years just going in wrong direction. And only in 1967, two groups, our groups at the Yoffe Institute and group of Jerry Woodall and Hans Ruprecht in IBM just show the first ideal materials, gallium, aluminum, arsenide, for the heterostructures. And then a little bit later we proposed, and then it was experimentally proved, the combination of quaternary materials which give to you just the plenty of different heterostructures. So the world map of the heterostructures can change drastically. There are plenty of ideal heterostructures, and in this map we do not include the three nitrates, which is give to you even more. The most important thing which was necessary to just to show the advantages of the heterostructures, it was application for laser. And it was absolutely clear from the beginning that double heterostructuring concept would be led to low threshold current and to continuous operation at room temperature. There was the first low threshold room temperature semiconductor laser, which was achieved in our laboratory in 1968 with the visible light, which have been made specially in order to show the visible laser to the big bosses, because even in 1968, in Soviet Union, like in many other countries, scientists always were fighting for money, to get more money for research. And visible laser like this one was, of course, very good tool, not only for future development of the optoelectronics, but also to get money from the state. Then, of course, it was very important just to show CW operation. It was strong competition between Morton Panish and Hayashi group at Bell Telephone and our group at the Yoffe Institute in order to show CW operation at room temperature, because it was absolutely clear that CW operation, first of all, were needed for optical fiber communication system. And it just at Corning Glass Company, just at the beginning of 1970s, they created the first low losses fibers. So it was achieved in our laboratory in May of 1970, stripe geometry CW operation of double heterostructure lasers. And in June, in broad area laser by Panish and Hayashi, so we practically do it simultaneously. So it's, I think, wide. Just a couple weeks ago, the Kyoto prize have been given to me and Hayashi and Morton Panish. Then, of course, it was very important just to show applications of many other materials. And one of the first and very important applications were the quaternary materials, indium, gallium, arsenide, phosphate. This transparency just showed to you that in gallium, aluminum, arsenide, the first ideal heterostructures, there were plenty of problems to work, not to develop dark line defects, dislocations, and so on. Practically, when Bell Telephone groups and our groups achieved the CW operation, it was achievement only to publish the paper, because at CW operation, we are working just half an hour, 15 minutes, we can write the spectrum, we can write the paper. But it wasn't working device. Then groups at Bell Telephone, a few Japanese companies, and at the Yoffe Institute spend a lot of time to overcome this problem. And only 4 years later, it appear the real semiconductor lasers with long lifetime. But for quaternary, aluminum-free materials, which has special properties against of the movement and multiplication of the dislocation, this problem were solved practically just after creation of this kind of heterostructures. You can see that even on the much worse substrate, there is no changes in the optical properties and crystallographic properties of the active layer in double heterostructures, even at much higher excitation level. My partner for CW operation, Itsuo Hayashi, in 1985, just drawn on this heterostructure tree, where is the roots, the development technology, and many different applications. The mainstream integration, and also a lot of trees for discrete devices. Practically, this heterostructure tree show how, even on the base of bulk classical heterostructures, majority of the semiconductors can be improved and created the new one. One of the important applications of the heterostructures were also solar cells. This picture showed just our space station Mir equipped with the heterostructure solar cells, which were working 15 years exactly. It just, the Mir station were go to the ocean quite recently, and all these 15 years were working aluminum gallium arsenide semiconductor heterostructures based on our technology, on our development, And right now in the space, heterostructure solar cells definitely have a lot of advantages compared to silicon one. If just to consider the classical heterostructures, you can see the fundamental physical phenomena and important consequences for applications. Practically, all kinds of devices, first of all, lasers, LEDs, solar cells, bipolar wide gap transistors, and many others, drastically improved by properties by applications of the heterostructures. And you can say that heterostructures electronics just appear from this main physical phenomena and first origin of the technology of the ideal heterostructures. But I even said that yesterday when we carried out the roundtable discussions that we were thinking about many applications of the heterostructures. We were thinking about investigations of many properties, phenomena there. What we do not think about the low-dimensional electron structures, which became the main part of the modern condensed matter physics in general and gave plenty of new physical phenomena and new applications also. There you can see how they change the energy spectrum of the electrons in crystals when you are go from three-dimensional, two-dimensional, one-dimensional, and zero-dimensional quantum dots structures. On the level of the quantum wells, two-dimensional structures, for applications, it have been given practically immediately after development of the quantum wells for lasers, just very interesting phenomena that you can cool the device taking out the recombination radiation. In this case, you can get efficiency up to 66% and drastically increase the power of the semiconductor lasers up to 5 watts just for the single heterostructure laser. Another applications of the simultaneously single quantum well based on MBE technology and short period superlattice, where you change the period of superlattice and change the forbidden gap of the material, it's just the optimized structure for semiconductor laser, which give to us the theoretical limit for the threshold current density in the lasers. If you just summarize what kind of results have been achieved by using semiconductor quantum wells and heteros and superlattice, I should like, first of all, to put your attention to the first section, fundamental physical phenomena. Plenty of new, very important new physical phenomena, including quantum Hall effect and fractional quantum Hall effect. It's not only two Nobel Prizes, which were given to Professor Klaus von Klitzing and Professor Stormer, Laughlin, and Tsui. In my consideration, the quantum Hall effect and fractional quantum Hall effect were the most important discoveries in physics last approximately 3 decades, because it's open just a new way, and it's also just open some critical points in condensed matter physics in general, and also it's very important that this phenomena were based practically only on fundamental constants and do not need any special other properties. What they need for the research, just quantum well heterostructure. And also, I should like, of course, to say resonant tunneling in double barrier structure, which was just the first quantum well physics phenomena, which were observed by Leo Isaki in 1974. No, and there are plenty of consequences for applications, practically for majority of devices, but especially for lasers again. And I should like also emphasize the appearance of infrared quantum cascade laser, which have been done by Federica Capace at Bell Telephone exactly 25 years later, after theoretical consideration of the stimulated emission in the superlattice by our theoretician Robert Suris and Rudolf Kazarinov. It was complicated technology. It was theoretically considered in 1971, but it was needed to develop MBE technology, computer control MBE technology, and plenty other things. So the distance between proposal, important physical effect, and realization became very unusual for this time of very quick applications of the physics phenomena in semiconductors for applications, 25 years. And of course, there is very important technological peculiarities that in case of super lattice structures and very thin layers, you do not need exactly lattice matching. And it's create to you a lot of new possibilities for using of new family of the heterostructures and also for choosing of the, to broad very much the electron spectrum, energy spectrum of the electrons. If you look to the, just to the heterostructures in general, because semiconductor lasers played very important role in this case, and just to look to the history of the changing of the threshold current density, you can look. It was the invention of semiconductor laser, but they work only at liquid nitrogen. Then double heterostructure concept give to you CW operation. Quantum wells give to you just theoretical limits, 40 amperes per centimeter square. And now new development, quantum dots, 19 amperes per centimeter square, and theoretical limits maybe about 5. At room temperature. Laser became very important device, and if you look just for the prediction of laser market, you can say that in very short future, just 10 years later, there would be mostly semiconductor lasers and just a few other type of lasers for any kind of applications. But the most dramatic story which is going on right now, it's quantum dots heterostructures. Because it's real artificial atom you created by using MBE technology, first of all. When you grow just a cluster of atoms, narrow band materials inside of weight gap one, which again we use the same concept of the double heterostructure, which we are the precursor of the quantum wells and also quantum dot structure, there was a lot of complicated things which must be solved, because the first theoretical paper about advantages of quantum dot structure, for instance, for lasers, have been published by Arakawa and Sakaki 19 years ago, in 1982. But it's still, in spite of the creation of new lasers, it's still a lot of work. Its real applications of quantum dots for different semiconductor devices need, I think, even more time than realization of CAPASA, the theoretical consideration by Suris and Kazarinov. Of course, because I am putting here, just at the beginning of my last section, not summarize the quantum dots and wire structures, but just to say, there are fundamental physical phenomena, delta function type of density of states, density of state function with sharp maximums, increasing binding energy of excitons. There are plenty of others, but not realized yet. I put here, which were just we consider that realized right now. And there was, as always, one of the most important problem, how to grow quantum dots, how to get them. One of the way, just using very, very narrow type of photolithography, just electron lithography or ultraviolet like that, on the base of quantum well structures. It's aroused a lot of problems. Another way, which was founded recently, it's using of the self-organization phenomena just through the growth. When we discuss a little bit about this problem, Professor Isaki said, you again use God-made crystals, not man-made. No, we use some God-made processes, but it's still man-made crystals. And there is just a game is playing on the small lattice mismatching in order to, and driving force for the creation of this self-organization phenomena, it's playing the elastic strain in heterostructures due to this small mismatching. It has been shown just very quickly that we have real delta function. It has been shown in 1992, practically immediately when we start to grow this quantum dot structure. What is the most important, in very short time, it have been grown in vertical order and also real ensemble with ordering in the plane. And this is, I consider, as maybe one of the most prospecting line in research right now. Because in this case, when you have the possibility to grow just many quantum dots, yes, ordered and plain, and many, many layers, you have the possibility to create three-dimensional crystals which have been created by these artificial atoms. Of course, it's a very complicated area. Each artificial atom, when you change the material, when you change the number of atoms, change the properties. And you can go by this way just to make artificial atoms like lithium, natrium, and so on, but it's a complicated way. It's not exactly just the single atom, because it's a complicated system, and it became even more complicated system when you are created the three-dimensional man-made crystal based on these artificial atoms. There would be plenty of new discovery, I am absolutely sure, in pure physics, and also plenty of new applications which considered a lot right now about possibility to creation single electron devices or single photon lasers, and especially on the based on quantum dots, vertical cavity surface emitting lasers now developed more and became the most fast developed branch of the semiconductor lasers, which the volume of the growth of the sale of this kind of devices now near to 150% per year. And I should like at the end of my talk, because it's exactly the time to finish, just to all transparency. One, in 1987, I was invited to the Baltimore Clio Conference just as the invited speaker, because we celebrated that time 25 years of the invention of semiconductor lasers. And I was invited to deliver the talk about the history of the creation of heterostructure lasers. And I must answer four questions. What will be in 2012, when we all shall celebrate 50 years of the invention of semiconductor lasers? What would be the main materials? What would be the main structure? What would be the main applications? There is my answer in 1987. There is my answer right now. You can see I changed my opinion. I am not so stable in the opinion like the famous British scientist, Nobel Prize winner, John Cockcroft, one of the leaders in thermonuclear physics and reaction and development, when this area were just after the report of Igor Kurchatov in Harlow in 1956, became no secret anymore, and it was carried out the international conference. And leader of this program, John Cockcroft, was asked by press at the conference, when thermonuclear reaction became to the industrial application for production of energy? He answered, in 20 years. 7 years later, at the same conference, when he asked the same question, he answered, in 20 years. Journalists told to him, look, 7 years you were saying the same, and John Cockcroft answered, listen, I don't change my mind. Now, for thermonuclear reaction, physicists change the mind. Now they predict middle of 21st century. They answered in 50 years there would be industrial production based on thermonuclear reaction. So I changed my mind about semiconductor lasers very quickly. But in general, about heterostructure, I do not change my mind at all. And there is a summary which was given by me 15 years ago at the lecture at the Photonic Center near from Chicago. That time, oil companies created photonic centers. And the answer was about the future heterostructures. That time, heterostructure is a new kind of semiconductor materials. Now it's not new kind. Now it's well-developed and a lot of applications about optoelectronics, about high-speed microelectronics. Now it not will, it used, it exists. It's not new broad area. It's just a broad area of applications for high-speed power electronics, heterostructure and solar energy conversion. And only I hope it will be In the 21st century, at least at the end, 99% of the electronic component would be based on heterostructures. Thank you for your attention.